Ah, yes, the Pointer Sisters. On the home stretch, it's the Guy Benson Show. Thank you for listening. It is Friday. Happy Friday. Merry Christmas. We're in a good mood here at the program. We're in an especially good mood because joining me here in studio is one of my best friends in the world. His name is Colin Utley. He and I went to college together at Northwestern and have been close ever since. We were roommates with several other people our senior year at Northwestern and then lived together in Chicago for a number of years. He and his wife and their beautiful children now live in New Orleans. That's where they got married. I spoke at their wedding. Colin has a book out, the type of book that we don't typically talk about here on the show, but it is really, really good, and we will get to that in just a second. But Colin, welcome. It's great to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Guy. This is actually a bit of a reunion. Guy and I used to do the Friday evening sportscast at the Northwestern radio station, WNUR, previewing this weekend or the weekend's games. And that's really where the friendship started. So me being here on a Friday on your radio show.
And we had the sports segment earlier.
Exactly.
In the hour.
It feels very, very comfortable and familiar to both of us.
I have to ask you, now that you live in New Orleans and have for some time, do you find yourself pulling for LSU?
Not as much as the Saints. Like, there is you can't live in New Orleans and not support the Saints. That's just you. It is a civic duty. The Superdome is sort of the civic cathedral of the city and the heartbeat. From an LSU perspective, it is always fun when the teams are playing well.
And they are not your granddaddy's LSU.
No,
they're scoring points.
They're putting points on the board. The governor, John Bel Edwards, right after his reelection, said this is an easier state to govern when the Saints and the Tigers are playing well, and it really impacts people's moods there. I do think they're going to beat Georgia, and that offense is good enough to make up for the defense that's had some struggles along the way.
Look, and we'll move on from sports in a second, but it's like the old habits die hard here. I have some very close friends, including Mary Catherine Hamm, whose engagement party is tomorrow night. She's a diehard Georgia Bulldogs fan, the Hickeys as well. So I'm sort of pulling for them, even though I have friends who are LSU fans. All that being said, the inner sports fan within me wants to see LSU and Ohio State for the national championship game, because those are two ridiculous teams this year.
Yeah, so talented. And you've got the built-in story there with Burrow being a transfer from Ohio State. You don't often get an Ohio boy that has become so embraced and loved in the South in the way that Burrow has been. And the people of Louisiana and those Louisiana State fans adore him. He came out in a Burrow EAUX jersey on senior night last week to just a raucous crowd.
That's a very good pander on his part. Also, the Ohio State quarterback was a transfer from the SEC, and the Georgia Bulldogs, who might pull an upset tomorrow, and then all sorts of chaos would ensue for the committee. Let's briefly bring in producer Christine, who, for those unfamiliar with Christine, new listeners perhaps on the program, she's a very curious lady. Mm. She has curiosities at all times. So when a dear, close, many-year friend of mine happens to be in studio, the curiosity, it's just overflowing. And so she asked, can I do some curious Christine questions? And I said, yes, I want to see how this goes. I might be a little bit nervous, but Christine, feel free to pepper my friend Colin with a question or two, maybe three.
Hi, Colin.
Hey, Christine. How you doing?
Okay. Question number one for you. When doing keg stands at college, who normally went first? You were Guy.
Guy is an excellent keg stander. We had a particularly excellent party. I believe it was Halloween our senior year. And Guy would go. Guy would be really very willing to go first, often would go first, and was not the one of the four of us in the apartment who pretty significantly hurt their knee coming down from a keg stand.
That was not me.
It was not me either. It was one of the other two roommates.
And to be clear, keg stands were not something that I did on the reg.
That I would agree.
It would be very occasional, but I would go ahead and do that. And I preferred that to like shotgunning or some of these other things.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the reason why that stands out, I think, because it was a little bit more rare. Guy is an excellent beer pong player. I think a fan of beer pong.
And I do call it Beirut, but yes.
And
my skills have atrophied over the years.
Understandable. Mine have too. As they're Ted and I get, yes.
So there's your booze question during the happy hour, Christine.
Colin, who looks better in purple, you or Guy?
Well, that's interesting. I'm going to say me, just slightly. But Guy is far more likely to be wearing purple. I don't know really anybody who knows or who loves their university as strongly and as deeply as Guy and is so willing to display that passion in a day-in, day-out basis.
No, the listeners know.
No.
They hear more than enough.
Yes. We know.
So I would just say this is not an act. This is how Guy has been pretty much since the day I met him. But I'll say I've got a slight advantage on the purple. Being from New Orleans, I rock the purple pretty regularly, particularly around Mardi Gras. It's a color that I've gotten more familiar with. But Guy really embraced day one over at Northwestern.
Go Cats.
Last question. Were you and Guy really friends, and did Guy have any more?
Oh, so that's an excellent question. Yes, I would say Guy and I are really friends, even though I am less intense about Northwestern athletics to a significant degree, and I'm a bit more politically agnostic. But I think that's one of the reasons why we became such good friends and have that friendship has endured after college for the first couple of years. We had a eclectic and diverse group of friends. That
one friend in particular himself was diverse.
Exactly. From a personality type perspective.
Yes, many of them.
Yes, exactly. I would also say, you know, as most college friendships can be, we were a bit insular, you know, we were like a walking, talking Reddit thread sometimes.
Yes.
And guys,
I had like different friend groups as well.
Guy definitely did. And
but I enjoyed bringing them all together. Exactly.
Yeah. And Guy was always not a huge party animal, but was one of the biggest of the four roommates senior year, was always the facilitator of the parties, I think, in the most enjoy, or the one who enjoyed that the most. But
a social butterfly, perhaps.
I think that's a great transition.
And there's a transition into Colin's book, When the Breeze Blew Through. This is a children's book. It has gorgeous illustrations by an illustrator that you were able to find down in Louisiana. You had been talking about this with me for quite some time, saying, look, I've got sort of the nut of a really good kids book here. You sent it to me, the original version, and I read it, and with all due respect, because I have great respect for you, I was blown away by how good it was, because it takes a skill, I think, to write in this style. It's the complete opposite of what I do in terms of writing every single day. When did you decide that this was a project that you wanted to embark upon, and how did this actually finally come together?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things that I wanted to do in my life. One of them was to be on Jeopardy. And I was lucky enough to be on Jeopardy in late 2016. It didn't go quite the way that I wanted to.
Although you undersold it. Like you were upset, but it was very cool to see you on Jeopardy. You also did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I did, yeah. So I love trivia. Jeopardy was sort of the pinnacle there of that. And I'm looking back on it, I'm super proud that I was on. I would say in the immediate aftermath, I was trying to figure out, okay, now that that's over, what do I do? What's something else that I want to get done? And actually, on the flight back from L.A. after the taping, it was an overnight flight. I couldn't sleep. I was still a little worked up from the adrenaline of the day and ended up writing the first draft of the book. And it's an idea that had been with me for a little while. Being in New Orleans, you hear this idea of a butterfly flapping in Africa. Flapping its wings in Africa, and that turning into a hurricane that sometimes ends up in the Gulf. Sort of this broader idea of a butterfly effect or big implications out of small actions. And I started to think about, well, what does that look like if that breeze doesn't turn into a hurricane, but something that helps people along the way?
So the book is When the Breeze Blew Through. I'm biased. It is really outstanding. We have a little bit of time, Colin. If you would just read maybe a sample or two from the book, if you have kids, if you have grandkids, if there are friends in your life. I've bought this book for two of my friends with young kids, including producer Christine. I bought a copy for Megan. I bought a copy for Mary Catherine's two girls. It's really, really well done. Take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Guy. And just to give a little bit of a setup, the story starts with a butterfly emerging from its cocoon and flapping its wings for the first time and then creating a wind that spans the world, goes around the world, and helping various people and things out in small and subtle ways. And so start with one of the scenes right after the breeze has already begun its journey. A baby giraffe longed for some fruit. Her neck was just too short. A whimper and stamp did her no good, nor cry, nor yelp, nor snort. All hope was now lost, her tummy loud, her face turned to a frown, when that breeze blew strong, knocked the fruit loose, and sent it tumbling down. And we would go, there was a scene where there's a thwarted pie theft. There's a scene where a sailor's sails that had fallen slack gets filled. There's another one that's set in New Orleans that I'll read here as well. Along cobbled streets, marching with pride, a lone girl played trombone. As crowds passed her by, she tweaked her piece, adjusting pitch and tone. Brass notes sprung out, caught by the breeze, and found their passing ears. A song they all knew performed so well, they turned to dance and cheer. And at each one of these stages, the breeze is coming through and just helping in small and subtle ways, sort of displaying sort of the interconnectivity of all of us and how just being ourselves. Because the butterfly hasn't done anything.
And what do they call those? Second line parades,
yeah,
in New Orleans,
second line,
which you had one at your wedding.
Exactly. And so this scene here with the musical notes is firmly set in New Orleans just from a color perspective. The girl here is playing a beautiful trombone. You don't necessarily need to do anything that's extra. Just be yourself, and that can have a really positive impact to those around you in really unintended ways. And so the breeze continues its journey in a couple of other vignettes and actually ends up back to help out the butterfly. And I'll finish with that. On the savannah, the butterfly's caught by a spider's trap. Against all the odds and hopelessly, her wings she tried to flap. When the breeze she sent around the world came back where it began, it knocked her loose, it helped her out, though never in her plan. The breeze that freed her, she'd sent it on its most amazing spin. In each thing it touched, a thank you said for the small yet helpful win. And who do we touch in silent ways with what we do each day? The impact we have, perhaps unseen, is always felt some way. We're all connected. We need the breeze to help us now and then. So flap those wings. You never know just who you'll help and when.
It's such a wonderful message. It is extremely well written. I know some people are saying rhyming is out. I think rhyming is always in for children's books. This book, I think, is timeless. It has sort of a Goodnight Moon quality to it. It is also beautiful to look at. And Colin, you have dedicated it to your wife, Elise, our dear friend, and also your two beautiful children, Louisa and Graham. It is awesome. When the breeze blew through, how can people get this for Christmas?
It's available on Amazon. And so you can just search for my name, Colin Utley, or for When the Breeze Blew Through. You can also go to whenthebreezebluthrough.com, and there are some links there to where you can order it, and we can get it in the mail for you for the holiday season. It would make a great gift for kids 7 and
under. I bought 6 copies of it. The story is by my dear, dear friend, Colin Utley, Utley, When the Breeze Blew Through, a terrific gift, and just a lasting message.
Yeah,
Colin,
thanks.
Great to see you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thanks. Merry Christmas to all the listeners as well. Thanks for having me on.
And we'll see you guys next week on The Guy Benson Show.